Are you looking for the perfect place to send your hunting buddy? Then check out Tioga Retrievers. With over 20 years experience, Angie and Tim Becker can provide you with a field champion or a well-rounded hunting companion. Tioga Retrievers takes pride in catering to the needs of each owner and their dog. Conveniently located 45 miles north of DFW in Aubrey, Texas, Tioga Retrievers also offers day training and boarding. Call 940-440-0018 or visit them online at www.tiogaretrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A retrievers.com. We all need a friend in the gun business, and that's why you should check out B&S Guns. Family-owned and operated since 1987, we offer a lifetime warranty on all firearm purchases. At B&S, we have a gunsmith on staff at all times, and our 5,000-square-foot building contains all your hunting and firearm needs. Open 7 days a week, we specialize in Nikon, Leopold, Browning, Remington, Swarovski, Benelli, Zeiss, and many more. Conveniently located in Garland, call 972-226-1816 or visit bsgunstore.com. That's bsgunstore.com.
His own gun. Got his own guns.
Oh yeah, howdy beautiful Texas.
It's just a bolt action 20 gauge in my grandmother's 410, and a 270 that my dad fired once, and he brought a mule deer in.
Oh, what a great tune there. Roger Krieger, I Got the Guns, getting things going for us here on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. I'm your host, Cable Smith. Loved or hated, but never ignored. We do it every weekend. I tell you what, that is a tearjerker right there. Sometimes I get a little teary-eyed when I think back about my grandpa and wonder what he was doing 70 years ago to this day, how he was spending his opening morning of deer season. But anyway, a lot of good memories with my grandpa, but what a weekend this is. Bow season is finally here, and I hope this is the start to another magical Texas whitetail season. Many of us will be spending some time up in a tree stand over the next couple months, and just a reminder to be safe and always have on that safety harness. Anyway, this weekend should be another great show, one that I'm pumped up about. Off the top, we'll be joined in studio by one of Texas' greatest songwriters, a guy who writes lyrics about real life without giving a damn what Nashville thinks. It's the great Daryl Lee Rush live in studio. Then a real treat when we're joined by a blonde bombshell, Miss Diamond Poole. She's a renowned swimsuit, lingerie, and fitness model. And she used to be an active member of PETA. Ooh, but that is in the past. She finally experienced hunting for the first time last year. And now she is one of us and enjoys dropping the hammer on monster whitetails just like the rest of us. Diamond has seen the light, and her story is an inspiring one of change. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll then round out the show by checking in with our good buddy, Lake Fork guide Heath Hardwick. The Texas Share Lunker season opened up this weekend as well. Man, there is so much going on, y'all. And Heath tells us where the big gals are hanging out and what they're biting. Also, we're going to get into a little drought talk. Does that make the fishing on Texas lakes easier because the fish are more concentrated, or tougher? And Heath will break that down for us as well. So it should be an entertaining, informative, and inspiring show. Real quick here, y'all don't forget that the vote for our September Photo of the Month contest begins on Monday. Lots of folks sent in their best recent outdoor photos. And I tell you what, there are a lot of good ones. Y'all can vote for your favorite beginning on Monday. The September winner gets the Duck and Goose custom acrylic calls from Cadence Duck Calls, made right here in Texas. I haven't quite decided what our October prize will be yet, but I gotta go through the closet and figure out what awesome piece of outdoor gear we'll be giving away. I'm thinking it might be a Tritronic Sport Dog Basic, you know, with the waterfowl season coming up here in November. There's a lot of duck hunters that could use this awesome e-collar. That's what Maverick and Bell both have, and it's a great piece of equipment. I think they go for about $350. But I'll let you know for certain next week what our October prize will be. And don't forget that each monthly winner will be entered into our 2011 Photo of the Year contest, and the 2011 grand prize check this out, y'all. A three-day, three-night trophy whitetail hunt on the historic QB Ranch. Food and lodging is included. You'll also throw a guide in there. How's that sound? This is a $3,500 hunt, and one lucky listener will win what could just turn out to be the hunt of a lifetime. So send in those picks, y'all. Once again, email them to me at cablewaco@yahoo.com. One other real quick reminder, if you ever miss a show that you specifically wanted to hear, say like last week when we had on Uncle Ted Nugent, just look us up on iTunes, search Lone Star Outdoors Show. All of our shows are saved right there. They're available for free. Download it, take it in the truck with you on the way to the lease or wherever. But like I said, we are on iTunes and we don't have that high of an opinion of ourselves, so we just give them away for free. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll be joined by a lifelong Texan. He grew up along the Texas coast, hunting and fishing was a way of life. He's also one of my favorite singer-songwriters. It's the great Daryl Lee Rush coming up only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
Look out, Junior's in the yard. Loading his gun, I never thought it'd be this hard.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is DFW's number one source for trailers. In addition to utility trailers, we have the largest selection of cargos anywhere. CM Cargos, Wells Cargos, Hallmark, Cargo Craft, and Pace. You want it, we got it. Come and get it. Call 972-501-0200 or go to BigTexDFW.com. That's Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn.
Cable Smith here for Magnolite, a Texas-based lighting company that's been outfitting the United States military since the 1960s. Over the past decade, Magnolite has continued to support our troops, but now they have over 200 lights ideal for your hunting and fishing needs, like the 35-watt HID camouflage Go Light Striker with handheld remote. That's 15 million candle power in the palm of your hand, ideal for predator and hog hunting. They also have remote-controlled floodlights, feeder lights, and LED boat lights. So go Texan and go Magnolite. Check them out at www.magnolite.com for all your outdoor lighting needs.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
I'm Gary Robertson with Burner Brothers Game Call, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
I just need you. I need you to want me. I want you to love me the way I love.
Ah, yes, the gentle giant, pride of Floydada, Texas, the great Don Williams, bringing us back from break here on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. Powered, of course, by Hoffpower Polaris, the number one Polaris dealership in the nation. We're about to be joined here in studio by one of Texas' finest songwriters, Mr. Daryl Lee Rush. And while he's getting set up here, let me take a minute to tell you about Texas Hunting Company and my buddy Brian Moore. Brian is the official capsule game feeder dealer for you, the Texas outdoorsman. Tell Brian you heard this ad, and you can save $100 off the price of both the 500 and 1,000-pound capsule game feeder. Check him out at TexasHuntingCompany.com to get your innovative capsule game feeder today. Well, it looks like my man Daryl Lee over here has everything ready to go. So without further ado, it's my pleasure to welcome the great Daryl Lee Rush to the show.
Hey, Cable. Thanks for having me, brother.
You bet. You bet, man. Daryl, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself? I know you grew up along the Texas coast, did a lot of hunting and fishing growing up, especially wade fishing. But, you know, tell us what makes you you and kind of how you got into the music scene. I know you still have a full-time job.
I do, man. I do. You have to... I guess I started back. I grew up in a little town called Markham, Texas. It's down in Matagorda County, about 15 miles from the coast as the crow flies. And grew up there, Went to high school there, graduated from a little school called Tide Haven, and went to school in San Marcos. It was Southwest Texas State back then. Now it's Texas State. And ended up in Dallas eventually. And ever since I can remember, always, played music, played guitar, write songs. I think I started playing guitar when I was about in sixth grade. And, when I got to Dallas, I started playing with a couple bands and then, just kind of moved on. And I guess in 2005, we won the Shine a Rising Star competition. Actually, it was the first one, and we won that, and we were able to get a CD produced by Gerf Morlix through that. And, that kind of just really took it to a different level for us. And ever since then, we've been, putting out CDs. We just came out with our third CD back in May, and just playing as much as we can and loving it.
Right on, man. And, growing up in the Coastal Bend area, just 15 miles from the water, I'd have been out there wade fishing every chance I got as a kid.
To this day, one of my favorite things to do is bay fishing. I love trout fishing, redfish. We go down, to Rockport every once in a while and go fish on some, float some croakers down there. And that's a lot of fun. Also, I don't know if you've ever done this, but we've gone to Chandelier Islands out off the coast off to Louisiana. Every couple of years we go out and do that, and it's just a lot of fun. There's a boat called the Jocas Wild down there, and what it does, it moors behind the Isla Caprice Casino, and we'll fly out there or drive out there on a Sunday and then gamble to at the Isla Capri till about midnight, and then we go get on the boat, crash, and we wake up around 5:30 and we're out there at the Chandelier Islands, but get on these little skiffs and go out and awesome. Fish for trout and redfish. It is awesome, brother.
Very cool. Very cool.
It's a cool deal.
So I guess as far as who got you interested in the outdoors, is that, was that your old man? Or?
Well, where I grew up, it's not something that you really think about or consider. You know what I mean?
Because it's a way of life.
It is a way of life. Because if you look back to my father, it was a different situation. It was where, people hunt and fish for food. My dad grew up during the Depression and, I was talking to him just the other day and he was talking about Hoover hogs and I'm wondering, well, what is that? Well, that's an armadillo, back during the Depression. It tasted like pork. So they called it Hoover hogs. But, it's a situation where, I grew up, all my brothers hunted and we all fished. I can remember every year when that first norther came in, we would go down to the coast and go floundering flounder and just, just going out hunting. And it wasn't like even planned hunts or anything. I mean, we had our shotguns and our 22s and we went out and, it was like a everyday occurrence. I can remember we used to go down there. They have all these shell roads and stuff. And I can remember my dad, he'd take me out rabbit hunting when I was really, really young. And I'd get in the back of a truck and we'd just drive down those shell roads. I'm sure it's not legal, but we, just drive down those shell roads shooting rabbits. And,
right.
It's just,
I love rabbits. They taste great.
I do too. It was a, and I did this product. I was in elementary. I don't know how young I was. And, that's another thing about, guns and gun safety and things like that. I think when you, when you grow up and you just, from the beginning, you're just trained and, it's just a good thing. And it's almost like a family value or something.
Right.
If you grow up in that situation where you just love to hunt and the outdoors and fish and stuff.
Well, it sounds like a great way to grow up to me, man. Daryl, why don't you go ahead and play us a new tune here off the self-titled record, Daryl Lee Rush. First, tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind the new record.
The latest album, actually been working on it for quite a while. We went down to, we recorded this down in Floresville, Texas. A guy named Tommy Dedamore. He's just a great, great engineer, producer. He's a great steel player, plays lap steel, pedal steel, dobro, and all that. And he's all over the CD. It's just been a long work in progress. It's been a long time. It's been a couple of years since our last CD. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time on it because, like you said, we all, everyone in the band, they have other things that they do to survive, So it's been a weekend project or maybe take off a week here and there. And we just worked on it. And it's just a compilation of songs. Some of them I've written, since this thing got started. Some of them are older songs. This one I'm going to do, it's a slower song off the CD. This song's called Leaving Virginia.
Okay.
And it never really lets you know if it's the girl or the stay, but I'm not telling.
Leaving
leaving Virginia. I have run many a valley and I have crawled to the edge of the Occoquan. I have held out. I have given as good as I've gotten, but I have not yet broken free. And I have rings around my fingers and chains across my heart. I have gathered all the pictures and torn them all apart. I have huddled from the darkness to the embers of your flame. I sought comfort from strangers where I dare not speak your name. Leaving Virginia, I fed all kinds of weather, and I have caught a glimpse of the other side. I've sang a new song to the rhythm of my boot heels, but I have not walked far enough. And I have prayed to holy angels for the strength to pass on through. I broke bread with the devil in my hunger for the truth. I have compromised and realized I've sold out much too cheap. I have tried to cross that river, but the waters ran too deep. I was born here. You can't say that you don't know me. The heart beats true as the day. For in an instant, from that bar stool back in Blacksburg, where I sat and watched you walk away. There's an old song that my daddy used to play. Please don't you take my sunshine away. There's a memory from back when we had just begun, of you lying by that river, bathing in that sun, leaving Virginia. I have run many a valley and I have crawled to the edge of the Occoquan. I have held out. I have given as good as I've gotten, but I have not yet broken free. No, I have not yet broken free. No, I have not yet broken free.
All right. Great stuff there, man.
Thanks. Love that one. I appreciate it.
Yeah. That's available on iTunes, CD Baby, and also y'all can check it out at DarrellLeeRush.com.
That's right.
Cool. We do have time for one more before we take a quick break here. If you want to play another one off the new record or...
Actually, I'll do an older one. I was talking about my hometown earlier. I'll do a song that I wrote about my hometown.
Sounds great. I think I have a feeling I know which one this is going to be.
Well, I was born in South Central Texas, in a town down along that coastal bend, where there's miles and miles of milo and cotton and that warm Matagorda wind. And there's acres and acres of black dirt gumbo, and a town that seemed to fall from the sky where I was raised. Down on the coastal plains lives a town too tough to die. Well, you know it has some history, like most places do. One sacred to the ones that called it home. Some came to till the soil, but most to drill for oil that lay waiting down below that salt dome. So they raised wooden derricks and a loaded steel pipe, and they stayed until that last well ran dry. Where I was raised, back in the golden age of a town too tough to die. And now it seems so different after all this time, and maybe it's just me who has changed. Is that same row of houses, is that same general store, and that same dead stretch of Maine? Is that same restless feeling on those same empty streets where you and I, we used to ride, was where we spent our days before we ran away from a town too tough to die? And when everything has changed, that memory remains of a town too tough to die.
All right, man. One of my favorites.
Thanks.
Probably one of the first one of your songs I heard on the range.
That's funny you say that. That was the first song played on the range.
Really?
I can remember the first time I heard it on the radio. I don't know, Saturday or Sunday morning, and I was at this. Where was I at?
Shaking off a hangover.
I was probably shaking off a hangover or something. I was down there eating breakfast, and I just got out and I got in my car, turned it on, and that song was on the radio, and it was just wow. Yeah. It was great.
Oh man! Right on! Right on! Well, we do have to work in a quick break here, but we've still got a lot to get into, and of course, Daryl's going to play another song or two as well. Y'all don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more from the great Daryl Lee Rush, only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Well, I was passing by a pawn shop in an older part of town. Something caught my eye, and I stopped and turned around.
Have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or check out the website at www.goinfencing.com. That's G-I-O-N-fencing.com or call 940-391-3669 today.
Texas outdoorsmen are fortunate enough to live in the best hunting state in the Union, as Texas provides some of the finest whitetail and bird hunting found anywhere on God's green earth. And with fall here, hunters are starting to get the fever. Trigger fingers are starting to get that natural curl in it. Feeders and cameras should be set, guns sighted in, honeydews completed with kitchen passes secured, and of course, don't forget about the new gear. And when it comes to gear, there's only one brand to consider, and that's Game Guard. GameGuard has deep Texas roots and works hard to provide the best camouflage products this state has to offer. So ask for GameGuard at your favorite retailer or look them up on the web at GameGuard.net. GameGuard, made for Texas hunters by Texas hunters.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
2011 Z521 Ranger boat with a 250 Pro XS Mercury motor. Falcon rods, lounge electronics, and Lake Fork trophy lures are just a few of the perks you'll enjoy when fishing with Lake Fork fishing guide Heath Hardwick. Customer service is Heath's primary goal. Well, that and putting you on the fish of a lifetime at the legendary Lake Fork, Heath has built his business on integrity. His passion is bass fishing, and he loves sharing a lifetime of knowledge with all of his customers. So call Heath Hardwick at 903-440-2358 or visit him at heathhardwick.com. That's heathhardwick.com.
Got my fishing poles packed and a cooler of beer. Heading on down to Old Joe's Pier. Me and my buddies gonna do things right. Nothing like fishing in the Texas moonlight. When you're drinking Lone Star on a bright moonlight.
The music of Brandon Key bringing us back from break here on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. I'm Cable Smith. Thanks for letting me ride shotgun with you on this fine Texas morning. This segment of the show proudly brought to you by Rudy's Barbecue. Stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And don't forget to check out the newest location in front of the Cabela's in Allen. Rudy's True Texas-Style Barbecue. Well, we still have the great Daryl Lee Rush in studio with us today. Thanks for sticking around through the break, man.
Hey, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, let's talk a little bit more about you. You grew up in Markham, just 15 miles from the coast, and, you know, earlier we were talking about how you would ride around in the back of your dad's pickup truck just picking off rabbits, and I'm not sure if it was legal back then, but I know it isn't now.
I don't think so. I don't think it was legal then either. You know, it was kind of funny. In fact, I remember one time my brother was driving, and, I mean, I'm lucky I didn't get hurt or hurt somebody, but we were driving down a shell road, and my dad had like a headache rack on his truck. So I'm standing and I'm have my shotgun and I'm looking over the top of the truck over the headache rack, and all of a sudden my brother sees a rabbit like to the left, and he whips the truck really, really fast, and I just kept on going straight, fell right out of the truck on the shell. Wow. With a shotgun, which isn't very No. I don't recommend it.
Oh man. How about deer hunting? Was that something that you did a lot of growing up?
There's this guy named Andy Jarvis, and actually he was one of my girlfriend's stepfather, and, you know, for years, you know, he and I, every year around Thanksgiving, it was our tradition. You know, I would take off that week, and I can remember I'd start trying to grow my beard. You know, it was very difficult, but I would try to grow my beard. And we had a little deer camp up in, I guess, Cherokee County, which is in East Texas. Mm-hmm. And they were from Troop. And, you know, we'd just go out there, and it would just be him and his brother Slab and, you know, a couple other people, and we just hang out. And there's just something about that, you know, whether you get a deer or not. Mm-hmm. Just being out there and, you know, with all the guys and just the camaraderie, it's a wonderful thing. In fact, you know, I always say, you know, my name is Daryl Lee Rush and I'm just proud to be here. I actually stole that line from Andy Jarvis because I can remember we'd be sitting around, you know, drinking beer around the, you know, campfire or whatever, poking a stick in the fire, and he said, "I'm just proud to be here, boys. I'm just proud to be here." It kind of stuck, you know.
Right.
I did that, and, you know, we'd go do a lot of bird hunting. Uh-huh. You know, I don't know. It hasn't been too good lately, though, I hear. I mean, it's been so damn dry. We used to go down to Brady and had a little, you know, we'd rent some space down there just south of Lake Brady and do some dove hunting. I loved it. Probably dove hunting is one of my favorite.
Hey, it's tough to beat a good dove hunt. What about ducks, though? You know, you're so close to the coast growing up. Did you spend much time waterfowling?
Not a lot. I would, you know, hunt on some tanks and stuff that we had down there, and did some geese hunting. You know, the geese would just light in the rice fields, you know, three or four blocks from my house. So I would crawl out there and get me one every once in a while.
I'd have been crawling out there with you, brother. Hey, I was looking at your website, saw that you're really involved with this Wounded Warrior Project. Very cool. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, that's a very cool deal. We were approached, you know, my brother's in the military, or retired military. His, you know, his son's in the military. You know, I have just a lot of respect for, you know, our armed services and the folks in the military. And we just, you know, we were approached to play this benefit at Love and War in Texas coming up. And, in October. And, you know, we were just proud to do it because, you know, they do so much for us. And
They sure do, man. Now, y'all will actually be at Love and War on the 7th and then again on October 15th. That's when the Wounded Warrior Project is. Daryl, we've got time for one more tune, man. Whatever you want to play us, take your pick, buddy.
All right, let's do an oldie but a goodie. I want 6 kids and a double wife, a good wife and a woman on the side, in my white trash paradise. I want a garden with onions, carrots and beans, with a couple back issues of field and stream, for my white trash paradise. I want to spend my nights drinking Schaefer Light and smoking cheap cigarettes. I want a water bed to rest my head and a pit bull for my pet. I want to set a couch out by the road, sell skunk weed and call it gold at my white trash paradise. A 69 Chevelle just sitting on blocks among 27 pens, where I keep my cocks in my white trash paradise. I want to say to Madre, to the neighborhood, you know it makes them mad to see me living so good in my white trash paradise. I want to spend my nights drinking Schaefer Light and smoking cheap cigarettes. I want a water bed to rest my head and a pit bull for my pet. I want to ride welfare till the well runs dry, buy everything that Walmart can supply to my white trash paradise. It's my white trash paradise.
That is an oldie but a goodie.
That is an oldie.
The great Daryl Lee Rush with us in studio this morning. Hey, man, it has been a real pleasure getting to know you a little bit. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Okay, well, thank you so much for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, my friend. Y'all be sure to check it out, DarylLeeRush.com. Tour dates, of course, music is on there, as well as on iTunes and CD, baby. It's been a real treat, man.
Appreciate you.
Likewise, man. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll be joined by a beautiful young woman, a swimsuit and lingerie model who used to give part of her monthly income to PETA, but that was before a good old-fashioned Southern boy took her out and showed her what being an outdoorsman or woman was really all about. It's a story of change and open-mindedness. Joining us next, it's the gorgeous Diamond Pool. You're listening to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
There's a ribbon in her hair and there's love in her eyes. Ain't no place that I'd rather be than sitting right here with my sweet Jenny Lee.
How does hunting trophy whitetails along 10,000 acres of the scenic Colorado River sound? Well, that's what you'll find at Blue Creek Whitetails, located in Wharton County, only 1 hour southwest of Houston. They combine world-class lodging and southern-style meals, knowledgeable guides, and of course, monster whitetail bucks that will leave you wanting to come back year after year. At Blue Creek Whitetails, they live to hunt and would love to have you share your next whitetail trophy adventure with them. Call 979-543-6525 or visit BlueCreekWhitetails.com today. That's BlueCreekWhitetails.com.
Howdy, folks. I'm Lee Hoffpower for Hoffpower Polaris in Gulfwaite, Texas. Now, that's a big part of Hoffpower's outdoor superstore in Gulfwaite. If you're not familiar with us, that's why we're here. We're going to fix that right now. Hoffpower Polaris is proud to be the new presenting sponsor for the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Hoffpower Polaris is the largest Polaris dealer in Texas, and there's a good reason for it. We sell more fun, work, and hunting buggies than anybody else. We have the best overall selection of Polaris products in all of Texas. Everything from a little Polaris 90 for one of the kiddos to ride around up to a loaded up Polaris crew cab. If Polaris makes it, we've got it, and we've got more than anybody else in the countryside, and we're going to sell it to you cheaper than anybody else will as well. You can check us out on the web at hpolaris.com, or you can just click on the link here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show webpage, and it'll take you right to us. By all means, pick up the phone and call us today too, 1-888-428-7583. And in case you didn't know it, Hoff Parish has been in Central Texas for almost 47 years now, and folks, we couldn't have stuck around this long. We were steering you wrong.
Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Connor Harrison, I'm the associate editor of Lone Star Outdoor News, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Pretty woman, walking down the street, pretty woman, the kind I like to meet, pretty woman. I don't believe you, you're not the truth, no one could look as good as you.
All right, Cable Smith here, welcoming y'all back to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. Powered by Hoffpower Polaris. Some classic Roy Orbison for you there, as we are just seconds away from checking in with our own pretty woman, the talented Miss Diamond Poole. This segment of the show brought to you by Blue Creek Whitetails, the finest deer hunting Texas has to offer. Over 10,000 acres of Colorado River frontage in Wharton County. Check them out at bluecreekwhitetails.com to book your trophy hunt today. Without further delay, it's my pleasure to welcome a lovely Texas woman to the show. It's the beautiful Diamond Poole. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I'm here.
Oh, it's certainly a pleasure. Not every day we get to have a model on. Most of our guests are grizzled old outdoorsmen or some grungy-looking musician, so we aren't going to ask you for your measurements or anything like that, but tell us a little bit about your background in modeling.
Well, I am currently a fitness model, so I do fitness competitions around the U.S. I have another one coming up in 4 weeks. It takes a lot of dedication and training, and in between there, I do photo shoots for, you know, various photographers for fitness companies and the like. I've also played full-tackle women's football, so that's a lot of fun, too. There's no tag, you're out. We knock the crap out of each other and keep going, so I'm a tough cookie.
Awesome. Now, what position do you play for the Dallas Diamonds?
Cornerback, as well as a slot wide receiver on offense. I prefer defense.
Okay.
I just like knocking the crap out of other girls.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you know, your story is one that has really come full circle, as you used to be a member of PETA and were very active kind of in your anti-hunting beliefs. and I assume that school of thought is pretty prominent in your industry.
You know, it is. And I'm from Dallas. I'm kind of from the concrete jungle, you might say. And a lot of my girlfriends share the belief of, you know, no fur and, you know, don't hunt, don't kill, don't do this, do that. I mean, they all still wear, you know, their Louis Vuitton proudly on their arm, but still, it's definitely something a lot of my girlfriends have had strong beliefs in. And I've tried to convert a few of them since then, since I you know, saw the light, so to speak.
Right. So I guess just being around that group of people, is that kind of what influenced you to say, hey, you know, hunting's bad and, you know, we shouldn't kill animals?
No, growing up, I guess my mother is sort of a hippie, I guess, in her own right. She is very peace, love, unity, you know, love the earth and all its creatures. And growing up, I never really liked meat as it was. So I was a vegetarian for about, you know, 10 years at least, starting when I was 11 or 12. And that was about when I had started seeing a few advertisements and whatnot for PETA, and, you know, they show the cute animals and then they talk about how cruel people are to them. And I started looking into it, and unfortunately PETA's really grand they've got this grand performance they can put on for you in which they show you all these terrible things about what's going on with these animals, but they also don't shed any light on what is being done to help promote, you know, the well-being of these creatures, you know, the way that they're harvested and the way that they're actually taken care of,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I didn't know that, but, you know, up until, you know, the past year, but at the time, I just assumed, you know, PETA's right, these people are being so cruel to these deer and then to the hogs and to, you know, to just everywhere, you know, they I can't believe people spend money to go to Africa and they want to kill these hopeless, you know, these poor helpless animals. And then they want to put them on their wall or they want to walk on them. Are you crazy? So, I mean, I grew up with that belief and it was very instilled in my mind for a long time.
Uh-huh.
So it's something that it helped me to turn out the adult that I became. But I think I have a much wider, you know, I don't have my blinders on anymore. And so it helps me really and truly appreciate what's being done for the animals now.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. And, you know, PETA doesn't give any money to conservation. You know, your hunting license that you bought this year, all that goes back into, you know, state programs and stuff for conservation. I mean, there are no bigger passionate people about protecting our resources than hunters. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, I didn't realize how much of the money that I was sending in every month. I would do a percentage of whatever I made, or, you know, when I was younger, it would be, you know, part of my allowance that I sent in.
To PETA.
But as an adult, you know, of course, to PETA. As an adult, I would send in a percentage of my income every month to PETA. And, you know, that was my way of giving back. And I thought it was going to all these, you know, creatures and helping to, you know, bring light to young kids that needed to learn about it and to help preserve wildlife. And the truth of the matter is, all I did was help buy it, you know, a Lamborghini for the, you know, the CEO.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know, it's kind of disheartening in a sense. You know, those things don't even have cup holders, let alone it's not going to help with the, you know, helping save an animal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I read in the Lone Star Outdoor News article, that's where I found out about you. Great publication. Everyone needs to check it out. My buddy Bill Miller wrote the article about you, and it says in the article you kind of had a predetermined idea of what all of us hunters were like. Talk about that a little bit.
To sum it up, I thought most hunters were very crazy, redneck, just wanted to kill things and go nuts with it. I didn't imagine them really as human beings. And now I'm one of them.
Oh, that's incredible. That's awesome. So,
yeah.
So you thought we were all a bunch of crazy rednecks, but then that began to change for you, and there's kind of, I guess, there's got to be an unsung hero in this deal, and I understand that that's your boyfriend, Mark, is the one that kind of opened
yeah.
the door for you a little bit.
I was having drinks with some girlfriends in Fort Worth, and I rarely went to Fort Worth, but it's one of those blue moon nights where I went out with them to Fort Worth, and he came over, and he offered to buy a round of drinks, and he was kind of a smart aleck. I guess I was one back. He was very funny and just very flirtatious. He was very sweet, and I just really liked his personality. He was definitely someone different.
Mm-hmm.
really, there's no nice way to put it, but he wasn't your typical Dallas douchebag that I was used to. He was not a city slicker by any means. And, you know, I really enjoyed his company, and, you know, from there we just kind of got to know each other, and I did kind of drop off the radar a couple times, and we keep running into each other. I guess that was fate stepping in, saying, you know, snap out of it, he's a great guy. And, you know, that it just kind of went from there, and I wasn't crazy about his hunting. I didn't like the idea of it at all, to be honest, but
uh-huh.
I liked who he was,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it was an eye-opener for me in the sense that, you know, here's this really great guy who enjoys hunting. He's not deranged and psycho. He's not going to just go, hey, I've got some guns. Let's go shoot at some crap and see what happens. Or do you want to see some guts everywhere? He didn't just throw me into it, which was nice. He explained so many aspects of it that I just did not even know about, you know, hunters for the hungry. And, you know, that's what made me kill my first deer right there. The idea that I could help provide for a family that otherwise would have gone without food. And, you know, he just really helped show an entire world that I was unaware of. And it helped, to be honest with you, because otherwise I know to this day I'd still think that everyone was just nutty psychos out there wanting to try and blow things up and, you know, kill Bambi. And
right.
And Charlotte's Web was totally, you know, one of my favorite books. So, I mean, being that he wanted to kill Wilbur, I didn't get it. But now I do.
And you've killed Wilbur.
I have killed Wilbur and his cousin and his sister.
Oh, that's awesome. So, okay, Mark, he sounds just like a nice Southern gentleman, kind of showed you the light there as far as, hey, we're not all crazy. And he took you, what, skeet shooting? Was that the first thing y'all did together?
He did. He took me skeet shooting, and I was a little nervous at first just because I'm very highly competitive, and I was more nervous that I wasn't going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a few shots, I was sitting on them, and I just was enthralled. I was like, oh, this is fun. I am not only shooting a gun, but I am aiming and dead on and totally enjoying it. So I was just, when can we do that again?
So
when do I get to play with one of those guns again?
Right. And so then I guess that kind of, what was the first thing that you actually shot?
The first thing I actually shot was a dove.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not the hugest fan of dove hunting for me personally, but I knew he was going to eat it. We went to a huge dove hunt, and all the guys were, you know, grilling them up and whatnot, or however they cook them. I have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
Since they were going to eat them, I thought, well, they're going to eat them. I guess I could shoot it. Yeah, sure. So I shot two doves. I didn't want to go crazy out there or anything. You know, and I only shot a few times, but it was still me trying to dip my toes in it. I was still trying to accept it at that point. I wasn't turned on to the idea of killing anything yet. It was one of those things where I was like, you know, I've got to give it a shot because I care for this man, and you know, when you truly care about somebody, you have to love all things about them. And I was trying to accept the things that I didn't like about him, which was certainly hunting at that time still. And you know, the dove was the first time, and because they ate it, I was like, you know, I can understand you kill the food that you eat. That's fine.
Dove are delicious, by the way.
I haven't tried it yet. I have not tried it yet. I tried deer meat yesterday.
Yeah?
Actually, and I was surprised that I liked it.
That's all right. You've come a long way in a very short time period, you know, from a tree-hugging, pita-loving vegetarian to a white-tailed killing machine. So the next thing that you got out and hunted, you know, you shot a couple dove. You were like, I'm still not too sure about this. But then you went hog hunting.
Yes. I did not realize how destructive they are and just, you know, how terrible they could be to not just, you know, the property and your land, but, you know, they're harmful to so many of the animals, and they get into the deer feeders, and how, you know, they'll just attack humans. It's crazy. And I didn't realize just how terrible they are and how, you know, they can spread disease and whatnot. So, and just overrun.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord, their population is out of control. And when I saw firsthand, like seeing, you know, some of the areas, you know, that they had dug up and just the mess they'd caused, I was like, okay, yeah, I can understand. There's a little bit far too many of these creatures. So, all right, I'll go ahead and we can do that. And I actually had fun doing it.
Sounds like you had a lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun. I really did. And I enjoy any time it's like, hey, you want to go kill some pigs? I'm like, okay, yeah, let's go. Yeah, let me throw my cute camo gear on and get after it.
Awesome. Once again, we are visiting with the lovely and intelligent Diamond Pool, fitness, swimsuit, and lingerie model, Dallas, Texas native. As we just heard, you've come full circle from your days as an ardent PETA supporter to where you are now, a passionate outdoors woman. And now let's talk about that first time that you went deer hunting. When you had that buck in your sights, were you hesitant? Did you really think about whether or not to pull that trigger?
I did. And to be honest, it wasn't my first time in the deer stand. It wasn't my first time in the deer stand knowing I was going to shoot a deer. But he did take me into the deer stand and show me, you see that deer there, he's too old and he won't make it through the winter and he'll probably starve, or, you know, that one's sick. You know, reasons of that sort that you do need to actually shoot them, not just shoot them because they've got some really great set of antlers that would look amazing right next to, you know, Bambi's dad over here, but because, you know, it's something that needs to be done. When I decided to go ahead and shoot a deer, it was one of those things where, you know, I am going to be donating the meat. So that was the biggest pusher for me. And I remember having that deer in my sight, and he wasn't an easy deer to kill. He was an older deer. And he knew we were there. It took him about an hour before he gave me a shot. And I just remember watching him and having him in that scope thinking, am I about to kill the deer? No, really, am I going to kill this deer? Am I really going to shoot this deer? And I hesitated. I know he saw me hesitate at that, too. And I thought, well, I'm about to feed a family that's probably going to be very hungry if I don't kill this deer. Okay, I'll kill this deer. And we got it on video. It's funny. The last thing you hear before the video cuts off is, oh, my God, I just killed a deer? Because I was just blown away that I'd just done that. And I thought I missed because I saw the dirt kick up from underneath him. And I didn't know what to expect. But, of course, it was a dead on. And, you know, he didn't go very far at all. And he was there. And I was still, even when I walked up to him, I didn't know what to think at first. I was like, I killed him. Like, he's dead. Oh, my God, what do I do? You're feeding a family. You're feeding a family. Just breathe. And that's what I thought. He was much bigger than I anticipated when I got up close to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Very cool. And so how many deer have you killed so far?
I've killed 2 deer now, and I killed my first Audad about a month ago.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, I know you use a 25-06. Have you thought about getting into bow hunting at all?
You know, it's funny you ask, because we were just discussing that the past few weeks, and it's something that I am wanting to do. I have to go buy a bow.
I'm sure they have a pretty pink one for you.
That's what I want, the pink one. I definitely would love a pink one. So it's something that we're looking at doing, and my biggest fear is missing and hurting and wounding the animal and not being able to find it. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a while before I kill a deer with a bow. I just want to make sure my aim's dead on and I know exactly what I'm doing, because I don't think anyone should go out there blindly and say, I think I'll kill something, or I want to try this, so I'm just going to give it a few shots. When I, you know, pull the trigger, when I, you know, shoot a bow, whatever it is, I want to make sure that I know that that animal is going to die quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to make sure I'm very efficient in what I do. I guess maybe it's me being a girl, and we can be a little over anal in how we do things sometimes and make sure that we're doing something perfect. But, you know, I'd rather do that than take a chance of wounding something. And I'm going to start practicing once I get my first bow I'm excited about.
Oh, I don't think you're being over anal at all. I think that the ethical hunter makes that conscientious decision not to go out there and fling an arrow at something if they're not confident that their aim is going to be true. And so I definitely applaud you for that. But moving along here, we all know that it's not all about the antlers. But I'm looking at this picture of you in Lone Star Outdoor News, and these 2 bucks that you're holding look to be pretty good. I'm not sure if you know much about scoring, but I bet you Mark sure does. So what did these bucks score?
My very first one was 138. Sorry, my very first one was 138. That was a nice 10-pointer. So I got very lucky, I think, for my very first deer. my football coach hasn't even hit, you know, gotten one that big yet. So, and then my second one was 146, so it was 10 inches bigger.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah,
deer.
And then I don't know what the Audad scored or anything. I don't know how to. Well, I've got someone tell me.
Mm-hmm.
32 and a half. I don't know, but he was huge to me.
Right.
And the poor guy had a broken leg, so I put him out of his misery.
You did him a favor.
I did him a favor. That was supplied by 4M Ranch. So Ben Mooring allowed me to go after him.
Man, that is awesome. I'm still looking for my first Audad. Diamond, we are out of time, but I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on today. And I hope that your story will inspire someone else out there listening to be open-minded and try something new, to go hunting for the first time. And we sure appreciate Mark getting you out in the field, because if a PETA-backing swimsuit model who happens to be a vegetarian can see the light and actually enjoy hunting, then anybody can. And hell, you realize that we're not all just a bunch of crazy gun-wielding rednecks. Now you're dating one of us.
No, you're not. You're actually a really sweet human being. Most of you, anyways.
Diamond, it's been a real treat. Thank you so much, and good luck to you and Mark this season.
Well, thank you, Cable. I appreciate it, and I truly enjoyed it as well.
Well, there she goes, the lovely Diamond Poole. Big round of applause for her. We do have to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good buddy, Lake Fork guide, Heath Hardwick. We're talking big bass coming up only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
You ride a black tornado across the western sky, rope an old blue norther and milk it till it's dry. Bulldog the Mississippi and its ears down flat. Long before you take this cowboy's hat.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spegnall from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnola. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
Everyone dreams of having a place out in the country, and Lone Star Ag Credit can make that dream a reality. Whether you're looking for 5 acres or 5,000, Lone Star Ag Credit can assure you competitive interest rates on real estate loans, rural home loans, and even on livestock, farm and ranch loans. Quit dreaming of that place in the country and start living it. Contact Lone Star Ag Credit today at 800-530-1252 or pay them a virtual visit on the web at LoneStarAgCredit.com. Equal housing lender.
There was beer and women, a campfire too. I started drinking, next thing I knew, my pile of empties was 8 cans high. There was 8 beer coolers and 3 black labs, 4-wheel drive extended cab, camouflage flat bottom boat.
All right, all right. The Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show's own Justin Bowerman, the pride of Commerce, Texas, bringing us back from break here. I'm Cable Smith, and this Cabela's Corner Fishing Report is proudly brought to you by Hoff Power Polaris. Since we are running short on time, let's go ahead and talk some bass fishing here. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the program Lake Fork guide Heath Hardwick.
Hey, Cable. Glad to be here, buddy. Appreciate you having me on again.
Always great to talk to you, Heath. Now, the temperature finally has started to drop here in most areas of Texas. How's that affected the fishing out on Lake Fork?
We've been doing quite a bit of fishing, but all the shad are starting to move shallow now that the water started cooling off. Back when we gave our last report, the water temp was up in the mid-90s, I'd say, lower 90s to mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And so now we're running about 80 to 83, so it's dropped about 10 degrees. The weather's cooled off. And the days are getting a little shorter, so what that's done is it's triggered the shad to start moving to the back of the pockets. And right now on Lake Fork, you can probably go in the back of any pocket, and you're going to see a lot of bait fish. I mean, there's shad running, and the bass are moving there behind them and chasing them all around in the back of those pockets right now. So we're definitely moving into the fall pattern, and I'm expecting some pretty good fishing here coming up soon.
Okay, and once you have the bait fish located, are you throwing rattle traps or crankbaits? What's really working for you right now?
Right now, it's a mixed bag. You know, it's kind of just pick whatever your favorite shad-colored bait is. I've been throwing a square-bill crankbait in the sexy shad pattern. Been having a lot of success with it. And then my rattle traps I've been throwing and the spinnerbait, I've been throwing those quite a bit, and that's been very successful for me as well. The key to the spinner baits and the different reaction type baits, like the rattle trap, is the downsize right now. The bait's really small, and so I'm throwing quarter ounce chrome and blue rattle traps, and I'm throwing, you know, shad color, white, chartreuse type, Stanley 1 ounce spinner baits, you know, the real small stuff. If you go with the big stuff, it just kind of overpowers them. And they won't eat it much because they're keying on such a little shad right now. So the bait, you know, it's kind of the whole adage of match the hatch. And that's right now, that's very important to the fishing in order to catch some, because you can go through an area with a bigger bait, not get a bite, come back through with some smaller stuff, and, you know, you'll start catching some fish. And right now, it's time of year, everybody says big bait, big fish. Well, the fish, you know, they're keying on this small stuff so much, you'll still catch some pretty good fish throwing a small bait right now. It's kind of surprising. Just get in the creek channel and start fishing back with your rattle traps and your, you know, your spinner baits and your crank baits, just stay in, just put the boat in the creek channel and follow your way back. And then when you get to the secondary points, is where you'll just stop and really concentrate and try to pick off a couple of those fish, because they're holding on the points, working their way back.
Okay, right on. And this is kind of a statewide question, Heath, because so many of our lakes are low. During times of drought, when the water recedes to the point where it is now in a lot of our lakes, does it make the fishing harder because there's less water, or easier because the fish are more concentrated?
To me, this year has been great. I mean, this summer bite, you know, as we talked earlier on some of the deep fish, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's been one of the best summers that I've had, you know, and the water's been low. And now, and with the low water conditions in the fall, I mean, it just concentrates them. They have more, less room and less places to go, so they're a little easier to find.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the lower water conditions actually help concentrate the fish a little bit, in my opinion. But the low water conditions, the biggest concern right now is just hazards. You know, right now, Lake Fork is as low as it's ever been. The last time it was this level was when it was filling up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's hazards popping up now that, you know, nobody's seen in years, unless you were one of the old timers that were here when it was filling up. You know, you just don't know that stuff's there.
Mm-hmm. And it's like that all over the state. I mean, you can just go to Texas Parks and Wildlife website and just look at pictures from every region, and it's all bad, man. But, Heath, I sure appreciate your time this morning. As always, we'll touch base with you next month. Things should be picking up. The share lunker season opened up today. And now if you catch a 13-pound bass, be sure to call Texas Parks and Wildlife. Larry Hodge will come to wherever you are in Texas, pick that fish up, and take it back to the Freshwater Fishery Center in Athens. Heath, thanks so much, man. We'll touch base with you soon.
And so I've got Larry's number on my speed dial, so whenever I catch my first 13-pounder, he's my first call.
There you go, man. We'll talk to you soon, Heath.
Hey, thank you, Cable. Appreciate you, buddy. You have a good weekend, and appreciate the call. Thank you.
You bet. There he goes, our very own Lake Fork guide, Heath Hardwick. Be sure to check out his website at lakeforkfishingguide.com. We are out of time. Thanks to our other guest this morning, the beautiful Diamond Pool and the great Daryl Lee Rush. By the way, next week we'll start giving away some Daryl Lee Rush CDs on the air. He left me with a big stack of them, and I'm going to give them to you guys. So stay tuned on how to win those CDs. Next week, we've got Texas Parks and Wildlife Executive Director Carter Smith joining the show, among other things. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
Pay no union dues, I smoke old stogies I have found. Short, but not too big around. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road.